Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hitchcock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and want to be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about the keys to the kingdom. We read in Matthew 16 verses 13 to 19. This is Matthew 16. I'm reading verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse 14. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Verse 15. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Verse 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The word Peter in Strong's is number 4074, a primary word meaning a piece of rock or something larger. As a name, it means Petrus, an apostle, or rock. The keys in Strong's is number 2807. It comes from another word which means a key, as in shutting a lock, or literally or figuratively a key. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in the introduction on page 4, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "Sadly, I've discovered through my many years of traveling around the world that few Christians properly test what they believe. They do not ask the Spirit to reveal truth to them, nor do they seek the Spirit's confirmation about what they believe to be truth. The proof of this failing is evident in the many different beliefs Christians have on the same doctrines. We are divided because we use natural reasoning and understanding to determine what we believe to be truth, rather than ask the Spirit to reveal the truth." Peter was promised the keys to the kingdom after he came to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and not just the promised Messiah. Peter had been following Jesus and looking at the expressions on his face, loving the people, and also speaking to the religious Jews. Peter's statement was not just a quick decision. Peter was studying Jesus, and he added up all the evidence over a period of time and came to the conclusion spiritually through conviction. He kept those things in his heart and did not keep quiet when Jesus asked the second time. The opinions of others did not distract him, and he recognized that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh, the exact image of the Father. Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, I'm reading verse 33. either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Jesus called the religious leaders vipers because they were using the knowledge of the law and their minds to say all the right things. They were told to produce the right fruit through personal conviction and repentance, not to mislead anyone else. Jesus said they were going to be judged on every idle word that they spoke instead. If you're born again through conviction, you can now come to truth on many things in your own life, change, repent, and grow spiritually. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Everything you know should have changed you, because you believed in your heart, not your mind. We are in the last days. The kingdom of God came on this earth in great power with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit nearly 2,000 years ago. Jesus is Lord now, and he will not remove evil from the face of the earth before everyone has a chance to repent. God is waiting on his bride to get ready. The trials and difficulties you endure as a result will help you realize whether or not you are spiritual or carnal before his appearing. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 to 14. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm reading verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Jesus will appear when people least expect. It will be when they are eating and drinking, thinking that this world is going to go back to the way it was before COVID. The devil is the god of this world, offering man what he wants to do in his heart and fulfill the lusts of his flesh rather than repent. God has sent messengers of repentance again and again to restore the balance. Peter was speaking in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 and 41. This is Acts chapter 2, I'm reading verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The Jews who gladly received Peter's message and experienced personal conviction were willing to repent of all dead religious works not just the fact that they had crucified Christ personally. They were ready to stop yielding to the old nature, put him in the grave, and put on Christ. They're ready to confess publicly that they had rejected Jesus' teaching because they loved lies rather than the truth. We read in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 3, I read verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Everyone will face the judgment for not coming into the light. Conviction is a blessing to recognize truth that you can apply to your own life first. If you're using your own mind to understand the things of God, your life will not change, and the knowledge you gain through your own reasoning will actually hinder repentance. You may have repented of bad works from fulfilling the lust of the flesh, but deep repentance is required to live in the light. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 18. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 12. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse 15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. Verse 16. A wise man feareth and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. Verse 17. He that is soon angry deals foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Verse 18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. A way that seems right is reserved for those who reject learning through conviction. Those on the broad way laugh briefly to cover up the sorrows and regrets of sowing to the flesh. Those backsliding fill up their empty lives with many activities. The simple in this world get their news from social media, watching TV programs God did not authorize, or follow conspiracy theories. A good man is busy doing what he needs to do now. The wise man fears the Lord, but those who are foolish get entangled with this world again. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine, and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. For more information on God's system of learning, please read the book Sound Doctrine by Joseph Hitchcock. Jesus' teaching was very different to those educated through the law using their minds. Jesus' messages were anointed and offered grace and truth. Man's system of learning is based on selective knowledge gained from many sources and put together in such a way with reasoning that makes it a lie. We read in John 1, verses 15 to 17. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 15. And John bore witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God always gives you a choice. The law is a source of correction for all those who reject God's system of learning through grace and truth. You have to choose conviction as well as grace if you want to grow spiritually. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Just before Jesus comes, everyone still alive on the earth will have to choose between the narrow way and the mark of the beast. There will not be an option to serve two masters on the broad way. Now is the time to get on the narrow way. Paul spoke about the broad way in Romans chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. This is Romans chapter 3, I'm starting in verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. Verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. What is happening on the earth now will bring people to a point of conviction based on the bad fruit if they continue to reject grace and truth. Peter easily came to the right conclusion because he used grace and truth. If you are serving the flesh, deceiving yourself, and continue to walk as an unbeliever, now that you're born again, the law will show you that you rejected grace and truth. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 2 to 7. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 16, starting in verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Verse 4. The Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Verse 5. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Verse 6. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The wise depart from evil through conviction and the fear of the Lord. They humble themselves and admit that God is in control, and the day of judgment is coming soon. Your faith should be operating as if Christ is ruling now, getting his commands and daily instructions. You are not concerned about what others are doing, but only concerned about what you need to do now to serve in his kingdom. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 17, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Without deep repentance, the world will never stop listening to the God of this world, because they're wise in their own eyes. Even when others serve the devil, you can still obey. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Those who've entered the narrow way have the right fruit. If you're using your mind to make decisions, you are still lord of your own life. Church leaders using their minds for the sake of their flesh and telling others to do the same will have to repent or perish. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Like a little child, let him decide what you need and what you do not need in this life. The narrow way is a life of pressure that makes no sense to the carnal mind, but it's the best way to prepare for the kingdom of God. To live on the narrow way and be happy, you have to keep asking God what to do in everything and let him meet your needs. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Some get stuck following the principles of the doctrine of Christ and do not then move on to perfection. To repent of dead works, you have to learn to hear his voice consistently. If you go back to doing works of the flesh, good or bad, you have not repented of dead works. To do a dead work, you have to take over the lordship for the sake of your flesh and get on the broad way. If you are born again, clothe yourself with humility by putting on Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm reading verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you, and he has ordained others in his family to help with correction and conviction. They have learned on the narrow way too. Resist the temptation to do something in the flesh. Submit and seek his solutions by listening to the Holy Spirit. Those who are perishing will not understand why you do not just do what you want when you want. Peter explained in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm reading verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. The devil is a bully, picking on those trying to serve two masters. You will experience some discomfort going through trials and difficulties on the narrow way, but keep listening to God and not to the trap of the roaring lion through fear and anxiety. When you establish Jesus as Lord, you are humble. Those who are humble and submitted to his lordship overcome temptation. They get stronger in their faith when they see how and what God provides in his timing. Paul also said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. This is Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Jesus did not become weak when he surrendered to the cross to pay the price for all our sins. He was following the plan of salvation he wrote for our sake, that God also confirmed. This was for you to live a new life, obeying the Spirit in the same way as he submitted to God. God accepted the plan based on the fact that everyone born again also submitted to Christ. He has given you a gift needed to become part of his family that you need to use. We read in John chapter 17, verses 1 to 4. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 1. In these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power of all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. You will get to know God by faith, using the gift of eternal life. Nothing happens by accident, so you can learn specific lessons and process everything spiritually unique to your calling. Seek his righteousness in each situation, and you will be a witness of his wisdom and supernatural power. The gift of eternal life works in all circumstances, cultures, and conditions. Through the gift of eternal life, you can learn by the Spirit what you really need and how to go without the things you think you need in this world. Those using their minds think eternal life is just living forever, but did not test that conclusion with the Word or the witness of the Spirit. They cannot hear the truth because they still see Christianity as just another religion, allowing them to do what they want when they want. Jesus said in John 5:30, I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Those consulting their own will are not following Christ. Christ did nothing without hearing from his heavenly Father. And those who are baptized in Christ operate the same way. Everything you need following Christ will now come through your relationship with Jesus and the Father. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29. This is Galatians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29. If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Those who have put on Christ are not concerned about your ancestry to see if they have Jewish or Greek roots. By not leaning to your own understanding in Christ, you are greater than any Jew using the law or a Greek using his or her own mind. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 47. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God, through Christ. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 4 on Understanding Your Salvation by Joseph Hedgecock, the following items listed on pages 66 to 70 provided in your salvation. you receive the gift of eternal life. The Holy Spirit became your comforter and teacher. You are cleansed from all unrighteousness. You are justified by faith in Him. Your spirit was sealed by the Holy Spirit. You moved into the presence of God. You were given a new nature. All things began to pass away, and behold, all things started to become new. You fell in love with the Lord. You were born into God's family. You were given the power to become a son of God. You received the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and you were given the opportunity to live in the kingdom of God now. Do not be intimidated by those with worldly knowledge or a confidence in the flesh. You need to understand your salvation. You'll be given knowledge when it's needed, so you don't get puffed up. Change your priorities and use grace and truth to repent now that you are born again. Seek His righteousness by abiding in Christ and learn how to function in His kingdom by the Spirit now, as it will be like this in eternity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 4 on Understanding Your Salvation, on pages 61 to 62, Joseph Hedgecock writes, God intends for His children to enjoy the many blessings that come in the package of salvation. If you think of salvation as a box gift, what items are in the box? At one moment in time, you humbled yourself and repented before God. You confessed your sins and asked Jesus to come into your heart. You experienced God's love and forgiveness. At that instant, the Spirit of the Lord came into your heart and you were born into the family of God. God made the choice to accept you as His child. The God of the universe became your Father. The key to your salvation is denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Seek His kingdom, and He does the rest. Thoughts will come to your mind from God if you're not anxious about the things you need in this world. You will only experience and enjoy everything in your salvation when you follow Christ and abide in Him. You have to believe in grace and the rightly revealed word of truth and respond to regular conviction and correction. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 to 10. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? Verse 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. The Jews left behind Jerusalem were not willing to endure the correction and conviction that is part of the narrow way Paul was preaching. The church today has also chosen an academic approach to learning based on a few basic doctrines mixed in with some human discernment. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5, I'm reading verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul had been involved in the persecution himself and was now writing to the Jewish converts that did not get scattered to explain to them that they were still babes in Christ. They had the best teacher, but were unwilling to have their emotions stretched by the Holy Spirit on the narrow way. James said in James chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. This is in the book of James chapter 2. I'm reading verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You are not justified by repeating some words that someone else told you to say. Salvation is personal. You need to pray and confess your sins. Your personal sin is the fruit that you are not trusting God with all your heart. The gift of eternal life will function when you trust Him with all your heart. He cares for you, but if you doubt, you will consult your own will instead, because you believe lies. It's not enough to believe Jesus died for the whole world. You have to believe that if you were the only person on the face of the earth, He died for you, and He wants to help you get ready for His appearing through grace and truth. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Man was designed to serve. If you're not doing what's necessary now to follow Christ, then you are following the devil. In the first generation of Christianity, those scattered in the persecution had obtained a precious faith in foreign countries trusting God. They found everything they needed for life and godliness was in the package of salvation. We read in Luke 14, verses 25 to 30. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Verse 29. Least happily, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Verse 30. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 7, on counting the cost, on page 82, Joseph Hedgecott writes, just as a builder must count the cost before starting a construction project, you must count the cost to follow Jesus Christ. If you refuse to pay the price for Jesus to become your whole life, you will never enjoy constant communion with God. You will not be led by the Holy Spirit consistently. Many believers make an effort to walk in this message for a season. However, they only get to know the Lord in a limited way. Their lack of success is the direct result of their unwillingness to give up their lordship. They refuse to count the cost or pay the price to follow Jesus because they do not trust him. Even though they profess to have faith in God, they are reluctant to give him full control. God is no respecter of persons. You can have the keys of the kingdom too if you're willing to learn spiritually through grace and truth. You can ask God more questions using the gift of eternal life, but if you question his decisions, you remain a baby and not mature spiritually, trusting God with your whole life. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. This is Romans chapter 6, I'm reading verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. At salvation, you should have buried that old nature and started a new life asking God everything. Baptism is saying that you are ready to live on the narrow way. If you are still consulting your own mind to make decisions, your faith is dead and you are still sinning. Those alive to God are relying on a spiritual response, yielding their members to do the perfect will of God. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will in your life, in thought, purpose, and action. If you've repented of dead works, you rely on conviction to learn. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is the book of Philippians chapter 2 and reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Resist conviction and your heart will no longer hear the grieving of the Spirit. Without a soft heart, you will develop a bad habit of taking over the lordship in every area. Separated from God through your own disobedience, you'll be tempted to believe a lie that God is not speaking all the time. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 8. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. Verse 7. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. Verse 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. For more information on taking thoughts captive, please read chapter 14 on the battle for your mind in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hitchcock. The devil will build strongholds in your mind when you get in the flesh to keep you a prisoner. These can be removed if you admit that you love something else other than God's perfect will for your life. Lessons you learn through deep repentance, you can confess and pass on to others. If you love truth and do not get offended or resist conviction, you will grow in grace and truth. You will not be able to remove strongholds and grow spiritually using your mind. Break bad habits with weapons God gives you to remove lies that you have believed through listening to your own flesh. The biggest habit everyone has from not trusting God in this world is leaning to his or her own understanding. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Take thoughts captive and let God drop thoughts in your mind to direct you by faith. He will bring thoughts back to your mind by the Holy Spirit. Those who are spiritual recognize truth by the Spirit and apply what they learn to themselves first. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. This is Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Paul was not spiritually sluggish, learning from his mistakes on the narrow way under pressure. He loved the truth, even if it meant he had to be corrected and repent. You'll become spiritually dull or sluggish if you're not relying on the promises of God by faith coming to your mind. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 35. And again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Verse 39, and he said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Peter's brother Andrew was one of two disciples with the hope of seeing the Messiah firsthand, patiently following John the Baptist. Those born again today should have a hope of seeing Jesus if they're ready for his appearing. Andrew believed that John was the final prophet preparing the way for the Messiah or Christ. He heard John calling Jesus, Lamb of God. And he left John the Baptist immediately to see where Jesus was staying. One day with Jesus was enough for Andrew. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The word Cephas in Strong's is number 2786, of Chaldee origin. It means rock. Cephas, which is Kepha, surname of Peter. Andrew introduced Simon Peter to Jesus and took him to the place where he was staying. When Jesus saw Peter, he then spoke to him that he would be called Cephas, that means rock. In the letters and Gospels of the New Testament, it is rare that a surname is used anywhere. However, the names of Peter were used at different times to identify him in the Gospels and the letters of Paul for different reasons. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 21. I'm reading verses 7 to 19. This is John's Gospel, chapter 21. I'm reading verse 7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Verse 9, as soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Verse 10, Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Verse 12. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst to ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Verse 13. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. The word love used by Peter in Strong's is number 5368. It comes from another word which means to be a friend, to be fond of, an individual or an object. That is to have affection by denoting personal attachment as a matter of sentiment or feeling. While another word is wider, embracing especially the judgment and the deliberate assent of the will as a matter of principle, duty, and propriety. The two thus stand related very much, as other words, respectively, former being chiefly of the heart and the latter of the head. Specifically, it means to kiss as a mark of tenderness or to love. Simon Bar-Jonah was the name assigned to Peter by his own father in the Jewish custom. The word Simon, his first name, means he had heard. Jesus used the name Simon, son of Jonah, three times, and Jesus did not call him Peter at that time. Peter had a difficulty hearing, and Jesus wanted him to use grace and truth to hear, as he did when he first declared, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. After Peter denied Jesus, he lost his zeal through a lack of faith. Everyone born again now has access to grace and truth, so you can learn from your mistakes. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 31 to 35. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, starting in verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Verse 34. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Verse 35. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Peter looked like he was being more faithful when the rest of the disciples were scattered, but he was not listening at that time. Peter's actions were vain and unnecessary. Jesus knew Peter was going to fail. Jesus never asked Peter to follow him all the way to the cross physically, but to follow his teaching. Instead, by denying self and taking up his cross daily. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. We read in the book of Romans chapter 10, I'm reading verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. If you're not on the narrow way yourself, you cannot help anyone else feed the lambs or the sheep. When Peter wrote the Gospels, he made sure he included all his mistakes because he wanted everyone to learn from them too. We read in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 75. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. I'm reading verse 75. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Those who follow Jesus hear him consistently. Peter and the rest of the disciples had lost their way and all become dull of hearing after the death of Christ. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 11 and 12. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and reading verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering himself at that which was come to pass. The word idle tales in Strong's is number 3026. Apparently a primary word means twaddle, that is, an incredible story or an idle tale. The ladies went to the tomb first and were told by angels that Jesus had risen and to pass on the message to the 11 apostles. Peter responded first. It's possible that some of the words Jesus said about the resurrection were coming back to his mind at the time. This was perhaps an incredible story, but possibly true, and he ran to the tomb. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 8. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Verse 6. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greatest part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Verse 7. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Jesus appeared to many others. After he appeared to Peter and the apostles, Jesus even appeared to his own half-brother. Jesus prayed for Peter that his faith in hearing spiritually would not fail. You may fail in something, but if you have the keys to the kingdom, you can unlock any door and come to the truth. Paul also got the keys when Jesus corrected him on the road to Damascus. There was no condemnation, and he began to learn through grace and truth. Before Jesus returned to heaven, he had to charge certain people with the gospel who had known him personally. Those he appeared to are referred to as fathers in John's epistle. We read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. This is 1 John chapter 2 and reading verse 14. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Peter's faith did not fail, despite temptation to give up. Peter needed to know the reason why he failed. He was on his own mission, not God's mission. He also had to endure some correction too with the rest of the disciples. We read in Mark 16 and verse 14. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 14. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. When you do something in the flesh, your heart will harden. Even after being corrected by Jesus, Peter went back to his fishing and claimed he was still following Jesus. Do not deceive yourself by making excuses for going back to the things that you do not need to do again. In the Living Bible, John chapter 21 verses 15 to 17 says, "After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others?' 'Yes,' Peter replied, 'you know that I am your friend.' 'Then feed my lambs,' Jesus told him." Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know that I am your friend." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. Once more he asked him, "Simon, son of John, are you even my friend?" Peter was grieved at the way Jesus asked the question this third time. "Lord, you know my heart. You know I am," he said. Jesus said, "Then feed my little sheep." How would you answer these three questions of Jesus? The three questions Jesus asked Peter, according to the Living Bible, were: number one, do you love me more than these others? Number two, do you really love me? And number three, are you even my friend? Peter said to Jesus, "I am your affectionate friend or companion of yours." But he was still suffering from guilt. He had not repented deeply and was still enduring worldly sorrow. Peter fell into the devil's trap, trying to prove that he loved Jesus more than all the other disciples by following Jesus physically. Peter had not processed the fact that he denied the Lord three times by listening to his own flesh through pride. Now he was trying to overcome the flesh and the devil. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 12. I'm reading verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." You are called to be like Christ, but you have to be faithful to the truth and conviction you receive, not to your own ideas of ministry. Peter was promised the keys to the kingdom because he was faithful to the conviction he received and confessed all to his fellow disciples. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 21. "Not everyone who says unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those who have not entered the kingdom of heaven now are serving the devil, deceiving themselves and pursuing worldly interests. They may have a knowledge of the scriptures and know about God, but if they knew Jesus personally, he would be the functional Lord of their lives by the Spirit already." Jesus continued in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?'" Verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" The devil has helped the church produce leaders people want today. This includes those looking like superstars. They're not diamonds, but devil-made counterfeits, like the zirconium, without any flaws and polished. You may have the grace of God, but how you use that grace defines you. You can go on to perfection through repentance from dead works. Use the grace to get more truth and get more revelations so that you can be faithful to the end. In the upper room, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. We're reading John 14, verse 23 to 25. This is John 14, I'm reading verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. God's love is more than just a friendly acquaintance. Those who love Jesus do not depart from his sayings. They experience Jesus and the Father in them by the Spirit, setting up their throne as well. They're not perfect, but they are learning from their mistakes. The kingdom of God is here by the Spirit, and it can also be in you personally with Jesus and the Father abiding when you make Jesus functional Lord of your life. We read in Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. This is Luke's Gospel. Chapter 17, I'm reading verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Verse 21. Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God by the Spirit has been here for nearly 2,000 years. And is still a mystery to those who want this world to change first. Each generation has had a chance to change operating systems. The power of God has been made available to all those who follow Christ. Now is the time to become foolish and vulnerable. Or are you too ashamed to be dependent on truth and conviction? Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. This is Romans chapter 1. I'm reading verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Jesus' appearing was announced by many of the writers as they saw the darkness increasing, the church losing its grip on eternal life. Churches that avoided conviction became full of dead religious works soon after the apostles died. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Those born again on the Broadway are perishing. They have said the sinner's prayer, and they see Christianity as just another religion. They would deny the Lord more than three times daily and live their lives without the joy of the Lord and think nothing of it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. Verse 7. For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Time is nearly up and the tribulation will start soon. It's reserved for all those who have a confidence in the flesh. This generation, more than any other, has the hindsight of all that's happened since Jesus died and rose again, and will not escape the judgment unless they humble themselves. The leaders of this generation may think that they would not have crucified Jesus because they have their own moral standards. But all those not coming to the light today will not tolerate the truth and conviction following Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Jesus experienced the Father's help on the cross, serving mankind. It appears foolish that the King of Kings should die for sinners, but God's wisdom is greater and appears in all those who have the right fruit of living in the kingdom of God. Paul expected the Corinthians to live on the narrow way, relying on the word of truth and conviction to know what to do. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Verse 3. Giving no offence in anything, that the minister be not blamed. Verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Verse 5. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Peter was promised the keys to the kingdom because he was faithful to the conviction he received, seeing Jesus fulfill all the prophecies without any human effort. You can also learn spiritually by looking at the face of Jesus when you are convicted and rid yourself of personal opinions. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm reading verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Verse 3. If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The word lively in Strong's is number 2198, a primary verb to live, literally or figuratively, for a lifetime, and to live and be quickened. Peter wanted the church to be lively stones. He was given the name Peter, a lively stone, because he was like a little child, learning basic lessons through conviction when he started. Jesus is the living stone of God because he never did anything without the Father directing. Jesus proved that mankind could overcome sin when tempted through hearing and obeying. Those who are lively know there is forgiveness in Jesus' name. You will not be sluggish spiritually if you are good at repentance. Instead, you will be alive and keen to get to the root of your sin with God's help. At the point you were born again, you should have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You were convicted and not condemned, so that you could also learn and grow spiritually. In the Message Bible, Matthew 16, verses 17 and 18 says, Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of the books or from teachers. My Father in heaven God himself let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And that is not all. You will have complete and free access to God's kingdom, keys to open any and every door, no more barriers between heaven and earth, earth and heaven. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven, a no on earth is a no in heaven. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 16 and verse 19 says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loosed and declare lawful on the earth must be what is already loosed in heaven." Peter was not looking for an excuse to do what he wanted. Peter was even given the keys of the kingdom after he denied the Lord, because he used grace and truth to learn. We read in Matthew 16, verses 23 to 28. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm reading verse 23. "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." Verse 25. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Verse 26. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Verse 27. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Verse 28. "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Churches know that they have to lose their personal freedom following Jesus. Those unwilling to give up their own lordship lose direction and purpose. If you become a robot for Jesus, you lose your corrupted soul, but gain a new living soul instead. You have peace and joy all the time by living in his kingdom. When Jesus mentioned suffering, something surfaced in Peter. Make sure you understand that Jesus came to bring a sword and not peace. Peter became a new person, and so can you through repentance. Changing your name will not give you a new identity inside. Maybe you do not believe that divine nature came in the flesh. Peter was not ashamed of Jesus' teaching because he believed that Jesus was the Son of the living God in his heart. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 36 to 40. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and reading verse 36. "And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way." Verse 37. "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." Verse 38. "Saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Verse 39. "Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke these disciples." Verse 40. "And he answered them, and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." There is a big difference between the ministry of Jesus and those serving rules and regulations, rebuking disciples who are simply doing what God told them to do. If you are still on the broad way, there is time to change and get ready for his appearing. Peter did not understand that the religious leaders were deceiving themselves and preventing others from entering the kingdom. Peter was given the ability, literally or figuratively, to help those because he was humble. He was not afraid to share his mistakes in the Gospels, trying to follow Christ. The keys of the kingdom were given to Peter, not because he was a rock, but because he was operating in the same way as the kingdom of heaven is today. We read in Isaiah 55 and verse 3. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, I'm reading verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. When Paul started, he did not have any instructions to follow. The first disciples Paul met in Damascus were converted Jews scattered by the persecution that he was involved in. The disciples he met were not complaining, which was convicting for Paul. People today want a handbook of instructions so they can understand everything with their minds, rather than learn quickly in humble circumstances. In the kingdom, you have to lay aside your own agendas and malice to hear what God is saying. The human mind has the capacity to hear God's thoughts one at a time, so you can be a doer of the word without understanding the whole plan of God. James said in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It is signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition, by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared about the keys to the kingdom. You have to become like a little child. You have to be willing to accept what God is putting before you next. He loves you. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your heart, just like he knew what was in Peter's heart. But he wanted Peter to know what was in his heart, and he wants you to know what's in your heart. He wants you to look deeply into that mirror that James talked about, and not just glance in there, but look deeply and find out what laws and rules you've made for your life, how you have chosen things that are not from God. God loves you, and he knows what you need to do next. You just got to trust him. He is your heavenly Father now, and you have a possibility to communicate with him and get to know him and let him do the work. You are very special in God's hands. And my prayer for you right now is that you trust him with all that you're going through, the trials and difficulties you may be going through, for whatever reason, are there to get you to where you need to be in the shortest possible time. And I believe that. I want to pray with you. I want to pray that you accept what God wants to do in your life, and you'll let go and let God. Father in heaven, you know the people who listen to this message, and you've been speaking them through the scriptures and through the message that they've heard. And Father, you have already begun to do a work in them through conviction. And my prayer right now is that they will study those things that you have shown them through this message and repent fully, that they may be ready for your appearing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to our website. Our contact details will follow. It will be lovely to hear from you. Please keep in touch. God bless you, and thank you for listening.